It's win or go home time as Triple M rocks finals footy. The Cats looked shaky against the Tigers last week.
And the Cats fans are beside themselves at the moment.
And it only gets worse for Dangerwood and Co. A date with the barnstorming Swans.
But he's got two in a minute.
Welcome to the Triple MCG for Geelong and Sydney.
Fareem, welcome to the Triple M Friday Huddle.
For McDonald's, Triple M rocks finals footy.
Oh yeah, semi-finals type, huge game. The winner goes on to a prelim, the loser is out. It is the Cats taking on the Swans. Very wet MCG at the moment, more rain on the way. And guest galore on the show tonight, Jared McVeigh is playing game number 300. His brother, who is also a coach at the GWS, Mark McVeigh, will join us in the box. From the Cats, Corey Enright, Boris will join us. Judge Juddy is in the house. Damo's got a lot of news kicking around. Can the Cats turn it around? Will Buddy light up the MCG? These men know so much about the game, it's not funny. Chris Judd, Nathan Brown, Damien Barrett and Luke Darcy. Wonderful to all see you here and a fantastic night of footy, boys.
Yeah, great to be here, Howie. Always get excited, the MCG, big finals time. And, Juddy, I think you're going to see a very, very fiery start to this game. Wounded Geelong have been questioned all throughout the week. Proud side. It's one of those finals, I think, where they always are, but yeah. I'm expecting first 10 minutes to be extra special tonight.
Absolutely. And Sydney are renowned fast starters, aren't they? The last two times they've played Geelong, they've blown them out of the water within the first quarter. So, yep, no doubt that first 10 to 15 minutes, it's going to be on, but the question will be if Geelong are able to sustain that for the full four quarters.
I'd have to say that the wet weather, I think, brings Geelong more into it. I think Sydney are a very good wet weather side themselves, but I just think it brings them back to, because they've got so many tall forwards, Sydney. I still expect Sydney to play unbelievable football, but I just think if there was an advantage, the wet does suit Geelong a little bit.
It's a test of character, Darcy, isn't it, for the Cats, as much as it is footy ability right now, given the events of the week, the manner in which they lost to Richmond, the finals record that they've had since the premiership of 2011 under Chris Scott. All this comes together tonight at kickoff, and that, to me, is going to be the really interesting aspect to what happened in that first 15 minutes.
I couldn't agree more. That's assuming they don't call the game off, because Howie's predicted one of the great floods tonight. He's come in and he's read the synoptic charts. Yeah. He's come in, he said, Armageddon, rain,
50-year storm.
He's obviously had lunch with Mike Larkin today down at Channel 10, because he came in and said,
sorry, Hurricane Irma's coming through.
Sorry, mate, you saw a bit of rain, Howie. And yeah. Have you just done our heads in with that before the start of the Friday huddle tonight?
Just surrounded by absolute knobs. All I said it was raining on the way up in the car, and I think there's a fair bit to come.
You're a surfer, so you know the weather.
Sorry for telling you there's some rain on the way. Jeez. I was really looking forward to tonight.
50-year storm's coming.
Until I saw you four knobs, but I know it's all about finals, and expecting to see Buddy step up tonight, the big players, and I thought the judge, if any man would step up on a night like tonight, semi-final night, jumped in his car, he kindly gave me and Tunners a lift in, and just a bit off axis, I'd say, our man Judd. He just doesn't quite seem himself, which I expected a bit more on semi-final night. You all right?
I'm good, but I'm one out at the minute, Howie.
Oh.
The missus is in Ireland working, and Nana Kez is away, which leaves me exposed at the front end. We've still got the six staff working, but they're all the junior staff, Howie. Managing them doesn't just happen. So, look, I'm not quite myself, but I am going to lift, because semi-finals time is when the cream rises, Howie. So.
How long's Rebecca been away?
Yesterday.
So you've done 18 hours.
There's four little people at my house, and they just don't stop asking questions.
And it looks like a t-shirt that you've pulled from the bottom of the cupboard too, that you haven't worn for a while.
It's perhaps got a little bit low cut around the neck, Brownie, and perhaps more suited when I was a little bit more chiselled, but I don't know if dress sense is something you can be throwing stones at the minute. But the Richie Beno pastel white jumper, which is matching your paley, pasty skin because you look like you're a Biafran after the illness you've suffered this week.
So, you don't sound the best, Nate.
Lucky to be here. Lucky to be here. For my entire marriage, which has been 7 years now, I've never, ever been sick. Christina's never seen me sick. And 2 weeks ago, she got sick. She got this virus that's been going around. And it's fair to say that because I don't get sick, I don't give sympathy too often to people who do get sick. Mm. And she spent a couple of days in bed, and I was one out with the kids, and my workload doubled during this time. And I'm trying to do my job. I'm trying to come in here as well. I'm trying to do everything possible. So I didn't give her possibly the support that she needed, and I didn't understand how bad her virus was.
You haven't been known for your empathy over the journey, Brownie.
So when I got this virus, and last Saturday doing the rub, I started to get sweaty, and I started to get ache in the back. I thought I was going to pass out last week. I didn't speak for the last hour. I spent Sunday afternoon.
That's with the racing results that were coming through.
Thursday morning in bed. And this is why women are infinitely better than men, because she got unbelievable effort to make me feel as though I was the king all week. So she tucked me in, she made me soup, she made me every dinner. To the point where I'm pretty embarrassed of myself.
Did you give her the speech, you want to be one of the boys, I'm going to treat you like one of the boys, like you that, like you gave this last week? Or did you not get down there?
I didn't give her one of those speeches, no.
Because that went well last week.
Very quickly.
I felt like Nez responded after you gave her that pep talk last week. That seemed to hit
Christina
the spot.
Christina was listening last week, and she goes, what the hell were you talking about? Well, she goes, I don't even know Neroli. And she goes, I would have slapped you across the face.
Well, Brownie, I was patting you on the back to try and tell you to stop talking when you were talking last week, and you kept talking.
And it'd be fair to say, Nez is here in the room now. We might just Nez, just get a pair of headsets
it's
on.
It's been
there.
Pretty frosty between Nez and Nate.
It hasn't been frosty at all.
I felt frosty this week. I think you're right.
How are you, Nez?
I'm well, thanks. How are
Nate
you?
Nate did bound in and he gave you a big cheerful how are you, Nez? How are you going? And you are the most beautiful, friendly person I know in the media.
Exactly.
And you just gave him nothing. And I started laughing so hard, Nez, I nearly wet myself.
You know what? It was probably one of my career highlights last week that I got Brownie to a point where about half time, I think it was, he actually walked up to me, put his hand on my shoulder and said, Nez, I'm really genuinely sorry.
I don't know, tough guy who doesn't say sorry.
I don't know what I was doing, and he was looking me deep in the eyes. I'm so sorry. And to get Brownie to actually, you know, admit that he stuffed up was actually the greatest moment, perhaps my career.
He can't look any of us in the eye.
I think the quote on air was, I don't apologise. That was the quote on air, Duke.
That was exactly what he
snuck
said.
Off.
But off air, it's very different. You need to know where your bread's buttered.
Thank you, Nez. We appreciate it.
How did the fake news go during the week, by the way?
Hey, a lot of positive feedback.
Yes, now, I liked it. I thought it was terrific.
What are we talking about here?
What was the fake news?
Nez, you tell.
AFL MVP just had a bit of fun at the expense of the industry. Right. So just trying to switch things up a little bit.
How'd it go over?
Always a tough crowd in that room, Howie. Nice. But social media was pretty kind, which
that
is nice.
Is the hardest room of all time, the AFL MVP awards. That is just because the players, as a result, haven't got great humour on a night like that. And they're awkward at the best of times. So if you've gone with a bit of humour, Nez, full credit to you. Well,
Alex Ranch was there live and he said she did a good job.
Well, that's good.
The feedback from the players was actually really good, which was nice because we were just trying to have a little bit of fun. And look, everyone came under fire. So whether it was the umpires or the president or whoever it
was.
Social
media, how'd social media support
you? It was actually pretty good, to be honest, Howie. There was a couple in there who went hard and went a few times at me. But to be honest, when I looked back, most of them were actually pretty positive. It was just a couple who really hated it.
Anything more than 50% positive on social media
is
positive.
I would say it was 60-40.
Try about
2%.
Yeah, 1.2%.
You've got to give it a crack, don't you, Howie?
I hosted that night once.
And thought I did an outstanding job. And I sat down and to the rounds of, that was one of the worst performances ever. Never got a laugh. Didn't get any feedback at all.
You're not funny as a rule.
Well, correct. No, correct. That's why I don't tend to play in that space, Brownie. But tough crowd. Well done, Nez. I'm very happy for you. Good work, Nez Alenko.
Just before we get into a quick chat about tonight, you left us last week, Juddy. You're off on a weekend away with Beck. How did it go? You're off down the peninsula.
Very well off to Jackalope. And
explain that for our national audience.
It's a hotel down on the Mornington Peninsula, specialising in degustations, and it's a little day spa down there. So a very successful operation. 24 hours without the kids.
How did it go one-on-one with the wife?
Very good. We can get through 24 hours okay, just in our own company.
And the only reason I bring it up is because we sometimes unfairly take it out of you a little bit, that sometimes when we have our quiz demo, he's maybe a little bit awkward one-on-one.
With the public.
With the chit-chat with the public. Obviously, this doesn't happen at home, although I did hear your wife talking about your trip down the coast on her radio show this week.
It's a bit of a sting, is it?
And she was just talking about your ability with small talk and how you went together one-on-one without the kids. I think we need to have a listen to that now.
Okay.
It was my husband's birthday, for his gift, I booked us a night away at a brand new hotel. In the car on the way down, we weren't really saying much, but then I was kind of liking the silence and not having any requests being bombed at me left, right and centre all the time. Mom, wah. It was just nice. We just sat there and we didn't talk to each other. And then I thought, what if we don't talk to each other for the next 24 hours? But no, we had this delicious 8-course degustation dinner and we had so much to talk about. You know, holidays and we're trying to buy a house, so buying a house and just friends and just having a gossip.
Oh, I sort of wanted the editor to cut off to the point where she said you didn't have much to talk about, and he continued on with it, but it all went okay, didn't it?
Well, there's a bit of an awkward pause there when she tried to rack her brains on what we did speak about.
Yeah, but, hitting all the big points of the holidays.
I've got lots of material holidays.
You're buying a new house. We're doing good stuff.
That is the alarming thing that I've picked up on. Are we moving? Because it's us. and that affects all of us. So if there's no Judd Cave...
The cave only moves in one direction. If we move anywhere, it'll be for bigger and better cave facilities.
That's a good result.
Bigger and better cave facilities.
You talked to Beck about small cap companies and all that sort of stuff that you talked to us about. Because
Beck does start to get involved in the small caps when they start going up.
It's up until then, that you've given us a tip, which has been great in the share market, and mine's up 54% since you gave it to me, along with Howie, which was terrific. But unfortunately, the big straight back over there didn't actually get the tip.
Sort of chopped liver on the share tips.
This was public information. Two of the people were listening. Two of the people weren't.
I didn't get on.
Because I
wasn't aware about it.
I wasn't aware of it all.
You were talking to Troy Luff at this stage.
It wasn't a great result for me that night in Sydney. So this tip's gone up 54%.
54%.
Howie's had a piece of it. So Howie will put $25 in.
The good news is... I get paid an enormous amount of money by Channel 7 and everyone else can get stuffed.
The good news is Luffy's got an opportunity in his lawn mowing business for you if you ever move up to Sydney and you're looking for it. So.
Before we break, just a couple of thoughts on tonight's game. We were joking around about the weather. If it does rain, who does it suit? Who doesn't it suit?
I think it probably does suit Geelong at a glance. The contested marking of Sydney last week was outstanding. They marked the ball everywhere. I think it probably brings the game back into a serious contest that Geelong want to get into tonight. I mean, I still think the Swans are more than capable of playing wet with a footy. Yeah. But I reckon if I was driving down, it was Geelong, cold, wet night in Melbourne. It was 32 degrees Thursday in Sydney. Unbelievable conditions. So maybe Geelong.
Good record on Buddy Haslonigan.
Anything to add to that statement? No. I thought you just...
It was just short and sharp. It was just a statement.
Damo, rumblings out of Port Adelaide today. There's been a bit of a stir over there, to say the least.
Has, Howie, and it all revolves around a phone call Mark Evans, chief executive of the Gold Coast Suns, made to the management of Ken Hinckley, the coach of Port Adelaide. Peter Blucher's the manager. It was made during the week, and it still, to this point, has not got a resolution. So it's open-ended. It was an inquiry. It wasn't, as far as I believe it to be, an offer to coach, but are you interested in having a chat? So that's where it's at. Port Adelaide has got wind of that. I think that knowledge, Darce, has come via Peter Blucher ringing the Port Adelaide club to alert them to that. So they've put out a statement today saying, yes, we've received that information. Ken is contracted. And that is the key to this entire thing, the way I read it. He is contracted for 2018. The issue, though, and the relationship he's got with David Koch, the chairman, is at play here in inner form, because David Koch, as we know, made comments to the playing group after the game last week. He made comments to the coterie group afterwards, and then subsequent to all of that, comments on media, which I don't have an issue with as a person in the media, but I get why you guys who've got connections with footy clubs believe in the solidarity angle. So there were comments that were critical and at least raised questions about the team composition, Darcy, in that
has
team
that
lost to West Coast.
Their relationship, Ken Hinckley
and
David Koch?
Yeah, it has to a point. Now, again, to what point? Is it to the point where he's going to walk out? I would think not, but at the same time, the fact we've now got to a week or nearly a week after this game and the call has been made and there is no categorical shutting down of it. And Ken Hinckley himself will speak in his regular media gig on Monday on radio in Adelaide. So obviously he's going to have to say something himself about that. The statement today by the footy club didn't have any commentary from Ken himself. So they're treating it as though it's all systems go. They're reviewing the year as every footy club does. They're already on record as saying they're looking at extending Ken's contract. But Mark Evans, in the midst of interviews this week in Melbourne with prospective coaches of the Gold Coast Suns, I believe John Barker, Stuart Dew potentially, and others, and other conversations next week. But yeah, clearly try to get Ken Hinckley into that process.
Was there more than just that one-off incident with those two, as far as you know, or has it been an ongoing issue, or it was just those comments post-game?
Goes back to the off-season of 2016 to 2017, Darce. David Koch did make some comments, inclusive of on the footy show too, about the need to sharpen up. And I think it did sharpen up the team to a point, Brownie.
I remember, took umbrage to what he said as well. And I think they had to patch that up. And everybody's talking about that conversation or what he said, then put him into a new era. But I don't know. If you're going to continue to do that, I think the players and the coaches will drop off David Koch very quickly. I don't know whether it gets the message through that David Koch thinks he's getting through.
As players that you boys have all been, have you had situations where administrators or coaches or people on the board have addressed the footy club or the players or gone to the media? And how do you feel about it as a playing group?
Yeah, it definitely happened before. Happened internally. To have a president, and maybe we are at the old school demo, but I don't like it. I think you can go in behind closed doors and say, this is what we stand for, this is our stand, and you can be as firm as you like in there and hit the tone right. But I think when you're doing it publicly, it just opens the door for these stories. Oh, they're in conflict, the coach. Now, this is what he said before. You know, Brownie's talking about the captain and having to repair things. It just creates more trouble for you, Juddy, than being united as a club. It just doesn't, I don't think it's positive.
They've got a real issue, Port Adelaide, with other clubs raiding them. It happened during the course of this year when the fitness guy Burgess was poached by an EPL club, and they had to negotiate their way through that. It happened when Alan Richardson got the St Kilda job. He was contracted to be an assistant at Port Adelaide at the time. They let him go. It happened when Phil Walsh was coach of Adelaide Crows, left Port Adelaide to go there. They let those guys go on the back of the appointments that they were going to were higher positions than the ones they had. This situation with Ken Hinckley is an equal position to the one he's got. And as such, they're going to push back. And I get that. I mean, they have in good faith signed him up to 2018. And whether the relationships around that deal have gone sour, so be it. He is contracted. And also, too, he was as crucial as anyone in getting players to the club like Dixon and Ryder, Pollock, even before those two. So he's pleaded with people to come to the footy club. He's always espoused loyalty. And that's to his strong point. That's to his credit. But which is why I'm throwing all this out there now. I can't see him walking away from what he is contracted to do, and that is to coach the Port Adelaide Footy Club next year.
How much longer is he contracted for?
One more year. One more year.
Gold Coast would obviously be offering multiple years on any contract.
Again, it's depending on what they're offering. I'd be surprised if Mark Evans made that call and not being prepared to offer him the job. I don't think it would be fair to offer him make the phone call and then not offer him the job at the same time. He's well liked at the Gold Coast. He's had the relationship there already. But again, all we're doing is just dealing with what's on the table right now. And as such, the call's made. There's been no response to it back
so you think
from
Mark Evans would bypass the process and hand the job to Ken Hinckley if he found a way to be available?
It's a funny one to ask because he gives every indication he's all about a process. And he's a process driven person. I think that's why he's got to this position. But when you're trying to wrench someone out of a contract, you'd want to give that person more promise than just, hey, come and join a group of six guys. I mean, you might go through the process and like get it, and how's that look when you then fall
what
back
sort
to
of
your
money
club?
Would get him out of there?
Look, I don't think it's a monetary issue in terms of the 2000.
It's always a monetary issue.
Oh, well, it's a tenure issue. That's what this is about now. And what this is about now with Peter Blucher, his manager, making the club, as in the Port Adelaide club, aware of it is, well, hey, you want to renew him, let's renew it for more than the 2 years you're talking about because it's quite possible I've got a 5-year deal to go to the Gold Coast.
Further news in Queensland, which we'll touch on in a sec, Damo, but I believe the teams are in Narrowly Meadows.
Some huge news here, boys. Ramifications tonight, but also for the future of Tom Lonergan. He is out with illness, and we've just been talking about how great a job he's done on Buddy Franklin in the past. And, of course, he's already announced that this year is his last, so he may have played his last game of footy if the Cats don't get it done tonight. He's been replaced by Reece Stanley, who hasn't played since round 21 with that calf injury. So it's a big change and a big blow for the Cats. No changes for the Swans.
That is a massive out, Nez. Yeah. That's huge. So you think Harry Taylor goes back in defence. They play Stanley as the ruck forward.
But, yes.
That's a massive change in structure, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's a body blow, isn't it? And what a horrible, if that is to be.
On a personal level too, isn't it?
Yeah. Unfortunate all round.
Further news out of Brisbane. Your man, Tommy Rockliffe. What's he up to?
My man.
Well, he is.
You're
always on about him.
Talking about him a lot.
Well, he's like again exploring the market, Brownie and Howie. So Port Adelaide's made the front running there. Carlton Footy Club this week in similar tones to what Gold Coast have done with Port Adelaide. Carlton made the Lions aware they want to speak to Rockliffe. He's out of contract. It's different to last year. He can go. He is a free agent. It won't cost whichever club gets him a draft pick to get him. It's just a financial component. Brisbane Lions have put a deal that I believe to be significantly lower, Darce, than the one he's been on for some years now. So he's taken that as well. I'm going to explore the market. And as such, it could have happened last year. It almost certainly will happen this year now that Port Adelaide's already interested and now Carlton about to speak to him. They may have already spoken to him. Stephen Silvani and Brendan Bolton are up on the southeast Queensland part of the world this week, and I know they spoke to a Gold Coast Suns player, and I believe they made contact in that time they were up there with the Lions to alert them to the Rockcliffe interest.
You're soon to join the board, Juddy, when Judge Juddy might become a very, very different segment next year as
well.
I hope they don't get to our man.
They won't get to
Tommy Rockcliffe. Would you like to see him in the navy blue?
Oh, yeah, he's a good player. He'll make the list better. I don't know how far progressed discussions are or anything like that, but look, I'm sure most clubs in looking at midfield depth, they'll be put their hats in the ring for him.
I'm sensing Juddy going back to the way he used to speak when he played. we'd just take it one week at a time.
The most
structures and processes. That's not the path you want to go down, Juddy. Right, yeah.
Well, you ask a boring question, you get a boring answer. All right.
If you change, Juddy, I tell you what, we are going to give it to you like you've never, ever, ever before. You need to cough up everything that you've got. Is that linked to Bryce Gibbs?
Yes, that's a good question.
I don't know. Talk to Damien. I haven't spoken to Stephen Silvani this week.
It's insurance, Darcy, because the question will be asked again by Bryce Gibbs of Carlton. Can I go to Adelaide? That hasn't yet happened. It will happen. It happened last year. It didn't get signed off on. It will happen again this year. And as such, if it does happen and they get a nice little compensation back from Adelaide, which wants two first-round draft picks for Lever, by the way, well, that will then be something that could put into serious motion the Rockcliffe project.
Very interesting. He's sounding a little bit like Jason Dunstall did at the end when he was on the board at Hawthorn.
I'm looking after the big picture down there, Duke. This is minutia. It's beneath me. I don't get involved with the nitty-gritty. Overarching vision, that's where Judd Corp's involved. Let Soss and the rest of the gang look after the minor details.
We'll play this back to you next year when you start to go back to the old Chris Judd, like when he was playing. What else is kicking around, Damo?
Yeah, we mentioned Lever there.
Yeah.
The Melbourne Footy Club has got their hands on him. They've almost got him over the line. They're going to have to cough up about, a figure that's going to put him into the top three on their list, and it may well be number one by way of finances. And if it's $750,800,
worth every penny.
You do believe so, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's also going to cost them two first-round draft picks as a starting point conversation. Adelaide's made that very clear to Melbourne. It's made the other clubs who are still chipping away and haven't given up hope on getting him that is what they're going to be demanding as a starting
point. Well, as you said before, that's very interesting, isn't it? Because that is what Carlton requested for Bryce Gibbs, and Adelaide said, ridiculous, not even possible, and they, in the end, didn't do the deal. Yep. But in return for Lever, they see him as valued at two first-round picks.
Obviously, a lot younger, a first-round pick himself, and the fact that they believe Melbourne is offering an amount that is around about $800,000 a year, that's what they have put on his head by way of a trade pick value. Again, I don't think they're going to get two first-round picks for him, but they might get a first-round pick in an early second. But you need to start somewhere with your brokering, and that's where they will start. And they will be playing the poker game where they're not deviating until very late in the piece if they can help it.
Stringer?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. And as we said last night, his club of choice as we speak today is Geelong. But how they get it done with their lack of access to high-end draft picks, and given that they've already gone down a path that's a fair way down the path of the Ablett project, it's going to make things difficult for them. But ideal world for him, he goes to Geelong.
Darce, you're connected, let's be honest, at the Western Bulldogs Footy Club. This is a man that was the future. He was getting pumped up. He's won a premiership, All-Australian, 23, coming into his prime. How on earth is that man going to be leaving the football club?
It's a brave call, isn't it? And I think it's a really strong call because of the way that side is coached. And it's about 18 players all specifically playing their role. And he's a freak. He's a talented freak. You know, 57 goal All-Australian 2 years ago. Wins a premiership last year. Has an off year and kicks close to 50 goals again. And on a year where he struggled, he's kicked 40 goals. So absolutely you'd be going after Jake Stringer. But at the same time, if you really value what the team is about and you set a standard, if the player doesn't live up to it, it's a strong message to send to the group, isn't it? You need to find a way to do that. And at the end of the day, if you don't get the right deal, he's got a year left on his contract, you then say, hey, we shopped you around. We couldn't get a deal done. You need on our terms to come back and play the
what
way we want to play.
What percentage of the whole process is that, Dust, in your eyes?
I don't know. I haven't spoken to Luke Beverley. I haven't spoken to Jake. So, but I would say small.
Yeah. I'd say 1%.
You're probably right. I think this is genuinely why he's got a huge amount of currency. They'd be able to get a very good deal for Jake Stringer.
Is there a need for your services down there again? Because it seems to have fallen apart. You just said off the top, I haven't spoken to Luke Beveridge. I haven't spoken to Jake
Stringer. Point,
now, you've come out of the helicopter and you've said, I'll put Luke Beveridge in this spot. Yanked him out of where he was and I put him there. I won the premiership. Me, me, me. Now, it's about time. You said, okay, we've had a bad year. I need to get back in there and I need to start getting things on track again.
It's well established you're a tool, but occasionally you just even take it to a whole new level, and that is a good example of that. Doesn't even justify an answer. That. But yes, I will be back.
Big story. Tommy Lonergan is out down on the boundary to fill us in exactly what's occurring is Nerilee Meadows with a guest. Nez.
Thank you very much, Harry. I've got Maddie Knights with me. A case of food poisoning for poor Tom Lonergan, Maddie.
Yeah, I first found out about 11 o'clock today when I was in at the club and had a brief chat to Scotty. And, yeah, just some food poisoning, which is just, you know, horrendous. And to be honest, give Tom every chance to come up. He come here this evening, had a chat with the doctors and the medical staff, but just wasn't at the level to play. So frustrating for Tom, but that's just the way it goes. You can't do a lot about it. It's frustrating, but we push on.
And he's a tough man, so if he says he can't play, then you know he definitely can't play. Does that mean that Harry Taylor gets the job on Buddy Franklin and moves back?
Yeah, well, I think Harry will have to play back a bit now, and with obviously Henderson and Coladagny and Taylor, there's and Stewart, there, you know, we've got enough tall timber back there to be able to play on the big fellas, even though they're quite big with Reed, Sinclair and Franklin. So, you know, they're one of the bigger forward lines going around in the comp, if not the biggest. So, yeah, certainly we'll have to counteract that. And Bree Stanley's come into the team. So we've got a genuine second ruckman there that can play ruck and also forward. So, yeah, so it's a great opportunity for Reece. He hasn't played since he slightly nicked his calf, but has trained really strongly the last two or three weeks. And, you know, it's a really good opportunity for him to come in and play well. And if Reece shows his strengths and what he's good at, he's going to be an asset for us tonight.
Hey, Nida, you can't believe how unlucky that is, can you? Tom Lonergan going to retire at the end of this season, whenever that may be. Have you got any idea what he ate? Because players are normally meticulous a day out from a game and have a very similar routine. Do you know what got him?
No, it's sort of a funny question, that, because everyone's sort of asking, but no one sort of knows what he did eat. But you're right, like, there's most players are pretty routine in what they do, and a fairly, you know, the nights, or particularly the two nights before the game, they're pretty religious about what they go after. So, yeah, I don't know actually what it was, but it's obviously really knocked him around, and he was in pretty ordinary shape today. And, you know, even as much as an hour ago, I saw him briefly, and he looked terrible. So, yeah, it's just, not great for Tom, but as I said, we can't do a lot about it now.
And just for the listeners, Nido, in the end, that's really Tom Lonergan's call. Is that fair? He sort of reports to the doctors, but ultimately the player in that sort of instance would have to make the call themselves.
Well, I think someone experiences Lonergan is you're right. He's played a lot of great football. He's played with ailments before, and he's obviously played through things that have been quite, destructive, particularly with his body. So I reckon Tom's one of those guys that if he had been probably 80%, we probably would have been put him out there, because he's such a warrior and such a competitor, and he's really good in one-on-one contests and halving contests. So, but he's also smart enough to know with the doctor that if he's not even close to that, that it's not realistic for the team. So I think he's probably made that decision with the doc, and an experienced man like him, you just trust him.
Matty, really ugly loss last week, and we in the media have pulled it apart and given various criticisms. What was it about the loss to Richmond that you most disliked?
I probably just our ball handling. I just didn't think our ball handling all over the ground was great. I think Richmond handled the ball really well in the conditions. They were able to get the ball forward and get the extra man or half a man to the contest, and then able to sort of take the ball forward again. And every time we got an opportunity, probably to provide some fluid attack, we fumbled or we didn't hit a target. So that was probably concerning for me. And the second thing, obviously, was, when you go into nearly, 55 minutes of footy and you haven't kicked a goal, obviously we weren't getting great opportunities to score. And probably full credit to Richmond's defence. They scrambled back really quickly, and obviously with their gun defenders, they turned us away a few times. So, yeah, probably our ball handling around the contest and our capacity to hit the scoreboard in the first half.
Hey, Matty, give our best to Tom. Hopefully we see him playing next week. Thanks for bringing us up to date, and best of luck tonight.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Matty Knights bringing us up to date on the news that Tommy Lonergan is out with food poisoning. And my spies down Geelong are telling me, Das, that they've narrowed it down to one of 37 cafes down there in Geelong. They might have got him a little...
I'd be very careful, Howie, in your part of the world.
No, they've narrowed it down.
What do you reckon? What would get you on a... On a pre-game, that's a staggering thing.
Meat in the bolognese, I don't know. Or it could just be gastro, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it's always hard to know whether it's gastro or food poisoning. But
genuine very food poisoning, you're dead. Like, there's just no chance you could play. And it sounds like he's had a shocker. And that's a big story in this game.
Could be a witch hunt down in Geelong tomorrow. If Buddy kicks eight tonight, I mean, they'll find that restaurant and they'll shut it down.
They've got it narrowed down to 37 potentials at the moment. Okay, so what does it do from a footy point of view? Harry Taylor goes back. They know about this from possibly midday today. How does Geelong structure up now and how does Sydney take advantage of it?
Well, I think Matty Nice just said, yes, we'll probably have to put Harry Taylor back and Lockie Henderson might go to Buddy or Harry might go to Buddy. So they'd rather not do that. They'd rather have that second tour going forward and playing with Tom Hawkins. But it certainly plays into the hands of Sydney. And I tell you what, Buddy Franklin would have been told that news under the MCG. And when a player's got it over you, yes, you want to beat him. But I tell you what, he would be sitting there. And as good as Buddy Franklin is, he's the best forward in a long time. He'd be sitting there absolutely pumped that Tommy Lonning is not going to be out there tonight. And he will grow a leg tonight.
Is there a chance that this could be Harry Taylor's ham? That he's had stashed down his pants from Hamgate against the Adelaide Crows. And it's finally come back to bite him on the bum. You know, they were righteous with the Gatorade and the Gatorade showers. And of all the things, could be a bit of salmonella from some ham where it should never meant to be, James.
That's a lateral thinking.
How long have you been thinking about that?
That's the sort of stuff they'll get at the Carlton board meetings. Jenny Pratt will be sitting around. They'll have the finances out. And he'll come in with one of those... Demo?
Well, they were laughing to Juddy's point, Josh Jenkins, when he copped a bit of it, does, and maybe it's just come back.
I'm a big believer in karma, Damo. I think Juddy might be onto something here. He could well be.
I saw him laugh just before he opened his mouth there to ask that
question. He was jiggling to himself for 3 minutes.
What has one of us done?
I was talking, so I was worried that he was going to have a go at me or something.
And, Tommy Hawkins, we've seen him playing far and wide in recent times. Does that mean he has to spend more time inside 50 without Harry Taylor down there as a chop-out?
I think they'd like him to play the game that he's been playing. He's actually got better pushing up at the ground than getting back. I mean, so they're going to put Reece Stanley in and try and get Reece Stanley to play Harry Taylor's role. Coming back from a calf, his form's been up and down probably his whole career, Reece Stanley, without being unkind. Yeah. So it's not like for like. That's a big, big night for Reece Stanley to find a way and to play that role as well as Harry Taylor has for them this year. So, you know, if you're sitting here now, you're going, that's a bit of a body blow for Geelong.
Yes, Tom Hawkins, the way he's been playing, suits them, but not at this ground.
We're about to welcome Mark McVeigh into the box. Just before we do that, Jared McVeigh plays game number 300 tonight. Chris Judd, Nathan Brown, Damien Barrett and Luke Darcy. There's the Hawthorn game up not too long ago. He came into the box, Jared McVeigh. He had a calf issue. He looked like he was going to struggle to get back into the side. Not only has he got back into the side, he's playing wonderfully well, Juddy, and has re-signed apparently for next year. It's remarkable considering where he was with us in Sydney a couple of months ago.
Yeah, look, I guess it's a sign of two things. Firstly, just how well he's played since he got back in the team. But it's also a sign of how well Sydney have gone in the back half of this year too. I think if they'd have continued on their ways of losing games like they did that first six, it wouldn't have made a lot of sense to keep guys around in their early 30s. But, look, they're well and truly in premiership mode. And him going back and his ball use out of defence has been a big part of that as well. So that's a great get for Sydney.
He's been fantastic. Joining us in the box is the brother of Jared Mark, who obviously played for the Bombers. He works as the defensive coach up at the GWS, so he's a busy man at this time of the year. He's looking after children as well, so he's got his hands full. Mark McVeigh joins us. G'day, Spike. How are you?
Yeah, good, boys. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Great to have you in here. You just heard that conversation we had. Halfway through the year, it looked like your bro would struggle to play out the season. He's playing good footy. He could be on the way to a grand final. He's signed for next year. It's been a fantastic turnaround and game 300 tonight.
Yeah, it's a wonderful achievement, isn't it? And, you know, he's surrounded by a really good footy club as well. That he probably in his sort of the first half of the year, he was really pushing really hard to get back. You know, they obviously weren't winning games. They had a number of injuries and he was pushing really hard. The calf, we all know that calf injuries take their time and they can be stubborn at times, and certainly he was getting that. So I think there was a stage there at about sort of round three or round four, he said, nah, enough's enough. I'm pulling right back and I'm just going to be diligent about taking its time. And he did that and he's come back and he hasn't missed since.
And how many kids are you looking after at the moment?
Nah, I've only got his little one tonight. So she'll go out in the ground and run through. Obviously, Clementine, his wife's given birth a couple of days ago. And, so she couldn't fly and be here. So I was coming anyway and I've got down here and really looking forward to it.
There was an unknown about his future, wasn't there, for 2018 from a playing perspective. And he wanted to keep going on, and there was some interest. And pretty sure it came from your current club, GWS. And he may have just wandered down the road and played that next year there, had it not worked out for him as it has at the Swans.
Yeah, I think most clubs would have been quite interested in Jared, obviously, from possibly a playing point of view, if that fitted their brief, but potentially to be, you know, a coach or a development coach or an assistant coach. So we certainly were looking at it and watched it very closely. But in the end, speaking to Jared, I can talk about it now. He was always wanted to stay at the Swans. It was never a real threat for him. It was just more, was it playing or was it coaching? And in the end, it's become a little bit of both.
I always think it's interesting when players retire and stay at the same club they've played at and question whether or not they're better off going to a different club and hearing different voices and different ideas. What do you reckon for retiring players, what the best approach is?
Yeah, it's an interesting point, Juddy. You almost go up a gear at another club, don't you? Your level goes up in regards to how people perceive you. And I certainly had that discussion with Jared. I mean, we talk about footy and things like that a lot. And, I think there's a lot of merit in that. And if you ask any senior coach, they'll probably say, yeah, you should move on and get other ideas and bring your ideas into their footy club, because your value, especially from the Swans, we all value their culture and what they do. He'd be, you know, very important to a lot of other footy clubs. So, mate, there's a lot of merit in it, but there's also, you've got that emotional attachment, which as footballers, we all have it at times, but we find it hard to let go. But once you move to another club, you realise, geez, I'm learning something new.
Speaking to Mark McVeigh, brother of Jared, we're talking tonight, also a superstar player, the Bombers in his own right. And in your other hat, Spike, you are a coach at GWS at the moment. Talk us through what's happening tomorrow night up there. You go into an elimination final setup and a bit of change. You've carried a lot of injuries. You've gone smaller. Was that forced your hand because of the injuries to the tools, or were you thinking that way anyway?
Yeah, a little bit, Darce, it's forced. I mean, obviously with Jeremy Cameron not being there, who's, you know, he can play sort of in between, if you like, but Mummy's not there. But, look, we've gone small. You know, we've brought young Tim Taranto in the side, who was a really quality player before he was injured with us, and we rate him. His engine to get up and back is pretty special. So, you know, we need gut runners in our team to be able to run both ways, and he certainly provides that, mate. And Rory Lobb, obviously, is sort of that big tall that's sort of hasn't had the biggest of years forward, but he's a quality ruckman as well, so we need to explore that as much as we can. So we're under no illusion, mate, that we need to pick up our form very quickly to play against a pretty determined West Coast Eagles.
As a coaching group, how did you assess last week, first week of the finals? Obviously, it was a massive build-up. You play the best in it, who are Adelaide over in Adelaide, and you look flat, and it's always hard to figure out why a team's flat, or that they might be roaring unbelievably underneath the ground, and when they get out there, they're just flat. Can you put your finger on what happened last week?
That was certainly the case, Brownie. You know, it's funny when you're coaching, you go, geez, they're on tonight, and then the first 10 minutes, you know, what's happened? But, but in our case, we played quite well in the first 10 minutes. I think we kicked the opening goal. Harry Himmelberg went back and had a set shot. That's what you want when you go in a state, and we were all up and about. But we had some probably 10 to 12-minute periods throughout quarters that were really poor, and that was either we missed tackles, didn't defend well, and let ourselves down in front of goal. And our connection from our midfield to forwards probably wasn't at its elite best. We went wide at times. We didn't go sort of in that zone where you like to kick goals. We played against a very good side. And, we know that our performance was subpar, and we need to do something about it tomorrow night.
It's a ball movement that struck me. Yeah. I just thought it was long down the line all game, and the only way we were going to get goals was from sort of individual brilliant crumbs and things like that. Was Adelaide seemed to be able to use the corridor and handle and play on. Did that sort of stand out to you, that there was a bit of contrast?
Yeah, it was certainly mentioned after the game. I think, as you know, when confidence goes, I think you just start going back and just long down the line, I'll take the safe option. But in saying that, our method at that contest with our midfielders wasn't terrific. You know, we weren't balanced at times. They were really balanced. They got in the right spots and then chained out. So we certainly know that there was areas, if we need to go long down the line, we need to have a good setup around it.
Interesting, Stevie J this week. Has he been knocking on the door saying, got to play me. I promise you I can still get out there and do it? Or has he just sort of sat back and let you guys
He's a funny guy, Stevie. Sometimes he just walks past and he has got 120 minutes in me and then just keeps going. This week, I actually texted him last night and said, have you got 120 minutes in? And he goes, I'm no talking this week. I'm just going to get it done. So, look, he's a great character. And look, we all know that he's very much in the twilight of his career. Does he need two moments that help you win a game? Well, possibly he does. We think he's a great competitor. When he gets it right and he tackles hard, he lifts your team. He's very physical. He's very verbal. Can he put someone off the game? Possibly. So we admire him for a lot of reasons. We know that he's limited in what he can do now, and that's because due to injury and age. but we highly respect him, and we think in a big final we can get the best out of him. Might be proven wrong, but you got to back your champions, and I'm a big believer in that, and we've certainly done that.
It's been a tough year for the club to deal with the injuries throughout and the expectation on top of those injuries, Mark. And you've been around footy clubs a long time. When you have the situation that you've now got coming out of a badly lost qualifying final into a now cutthroat semi-final, and you've lost your main ruckman and you've lost your main centre forward or one of your main centre forwards, can that actually create an opportunity that forces you to go down a path you wouldn't have gone down? Can that actually free up minds in a way that sticking with the other players wouldn't have allowed you to do?
Yeah, no doubt. I think when you look at the players and the quality that's come out, it does give you opportunities to either experiment with whether that's a smaller forward line, whether we can run more players through the midfield, or we try some players in our back half to help our ball movement. These are all things that need to be considered once you lose some quality players in quality positions. So, absolutely, mate. Leon's just a terrific coach and sees it so well that, you know, he comes in on the Monday with ideas ready to go from the weekend. It's unbelievably impressive, and he certainly has thrown everything on the table this week and had a look at everything and what potentially we could do without going away from what we do really well at times when we're playing well.
Mark, just back to tonight's game, we talked about the fact your brother was playing game 300. I believe he had a child during the week, which is fantastic for his family, especially after the difficult times they've had in the past. What does it mean for you and the family to see him run out there and play 300 tonight?
I wrote Jared a letter, and I just gave it to him just before he left, and often you get emotional about footy, and we all do at times, but I said it was a chance for me to reflect on what he was like as a kid. And we grew up an hour and a half out of Sydney, as I said, and we grew up on 2 acres. And Mum and Dad took us out there deliberately, so we kicked the footy. And we used to have these 2 trees we kicked between. Dad tipped the trampoline over on its side, spray painted a target on it, and we had to hit that as much as we could. And I reflected on those moments, and I just said, little did most people know in that area that is not footy dominated at all. It's rugby league that little champion was being born in regards to making sure his skill, the art of skill, and also his mind and his determination was honing in that backyard. And he's been humble all the way along. And he's a credit to himself. He's obviously his family, Mum and Dad, more importantly. And so I just highlighted those areas, and we had a pretty good moment just before he left. So he thoroughly deserves it. And it's a special time for him, and it'll be great to watch him.
Fantastic answer, mate. Just before we let you go, you've obviously had a storied career at the Essendon Footy Club, and Damo was telling us last week that Nathan Lovett-Murray was the final player to be paid out, and it was done. And the Bombers were playing finals last week, and it was fantastic. It was almost their supporters could put all that behind them. Mm. You're obviously heavily involved in that footy team and in that club. How do you reflect back on everything that happened now? It's probably not an easy question to answer.
No, I read that Lovett-Murray got $900,000. I was flat about that. but no, look, I can obviously laugh about it now. It was difficult at the time because, I'm happy to say it, I believe that I didn't do anything wrong deliberately, or I was pretty cautious of the whole thing, and I even got told that I'd gotten things that I'd never even heard of, or, you know, so we all know the story. So it was very disappointing because I'd started my coaching career. That was gone for 12 months, and then, you know, I had a great time with my 2 young girls for that whole year that I'll never get back, and, you know, I was very lucky. But, look, am I embarrassed about it? Not anymore. Am I still angry about it? Probably a little, but I can't change it. All I can do is coach as best as I can and try and, if I've lost any respect, try and get it back. So I feel for the people that have been hurt, and there's been some, you know, I can't talk about it, but there's a lot of people that are really struggling, and I've been fortunate enough that I've come through pretty well.
It's interesting to hear you say, I want to back over it, but I don't think anyone I know has lost any respect for any of the Essendon. Yeah. I don't think that's been anyone's take, and I hope you don't feel that. Certainly from the industry that we work in day to day, I don't think anyone lost any time. In fact, the way you guys handled yourselves was just quite extraordinary, I thought. So.
Yeah, I probably said too much on radio at times, but I was fired up in the moment.
But you live it, didn't you? And because you were one of the older players dealing with it, and there are a lot of younger players, you were a go-to and a sounding board for a lot of the teammates who were still living it, aren't they?
I think it was just more I was pretty clear on what had happened, if that made sense, and I was... It's been well documented. I was adamant that I went to James Hurd about this whole scenario at the time and called a meeting. So I was pretty clear in my mind the whole thing about how it went down. So I felt I could talk about it in and try and put some clarity to what was going on amongst all the rumour and innuendo. So in the end, you know, you fight your battles and people shoot you down. But I'm okay. I'm good and I'm ready to go with everything. You just got to look after the ones that are struggling.
Yeah. Spike, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for coming in and telling us all about your bro and writing him a letter. Absolutely fantastic. Yeah. Good luck to you and the family and GWS and everyone that's involved.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Good on you, boys.
Good on you, Mark.
McVeigh coming in, having a really nice chat with us. His brother, Jared, plays game number 300 tonight.
Can you handle the pressure?
You can't handle the pressure!
We don't think the boys can.
It's got me under pressure.
Time for the pressure test.
Friday huddle, Swans are out on the ground doing their thing. Late change. Rhys Stanley comes into the side. Tom Lonergan is out of the side with food poisoning. So a big story of that one. Matty Knights and Narrowly Meadows brought it to us. Pressure test quiz. Give us a call, 133353. Tickets for you and a mate to Midnight Oil live in concert and be in running for two tickets to this year's Toyota AFL Grand Final. Das, I think you're asking the questions tonight, and our man Juddy is the one that is going to converse with the punter, which is one of my highlights of the show.
I'm asking the pressure test questions.
Yes,
am
you
I
are
okay?
Doing the pressure test questions.
133353, get on the line. And who have we got there, Juddy?
We'll go straight to Matt from Adelaide. Matt, how's the week been, mate?
Yeah, not bad. How are you?
I'm pretty good, pretty good. What's tonight hold?
Just watching the footy with mates.
Just shut you down, Juddy.
That went pretty well, Das. Got a question for our friend from Adelaide.
That's called your awkward silence, Sir Juddy.
I don't think this says less about me and more about the type of people that are ringing up, because there's nothing wrong with the way I'm connecting with these fans.
That is the Triple M family, and you got blanked.
There's no warmth, Das.
Yeah, there's no warmth. He actually doesn't care.
All right, who are we talking to? Matt from Adelaide,
are we? Matt from Adelaide.
Okay, Matty, you ready to go, mate? You know how it works, the pressure test?
Absolutely.
You've got to take on Nate Brown, and this is your question. Name six winners of the Lee Matthews Trophy since I won it in 2002.
Oh, no, he did it.
Away you go, Matty.
Gary Epler. No.
Yeah, that's why it's called the pressure test, Matty. You're out. Let's go quickly. Fire, Juddy. Get on the next one.
Adam from Adelaide. Adam, put you straight through to Luke Darcy, mate.
He's run out of confidence now, man. He won't talk to him now, Damo.
I'm going to go quickly because I'm worried the Google's about to get underway. We're going to get to Adam very quickly. Okay, Adam. Have you heard the question?
Say it again.
All right. Oh, name six winners of the Lee Matthews Trophy since I won it in 2002.
Since I won.
Go.
2002, Michael Voss. Juddy, Cousin, Dane Swan, Gary Ablett, Fife, Paddy, and Dustin Martin.
Google's kicked in.
He's jumped straight on the Google. Now, how quick did you get onto the Google?
No such thing. I'm driving.
Now, mate, honesty pays very well. You're not going to cough that up, all right? Okay, we're going to get Nath Brown in.
I had a good feeling about Matt.
I think that was Matt from Adelaide.
No, it's Adam from Adelaide.
It's Adam from Adelaide.
Matt was the bloke you had the awkward pause with, Juddy.
I had a good feeling about Matt. I got a much better feeling about Adam. I like him.
Nath Brown comes back in and joins us.
Quick, must have been easy.
It's a very easy question.
It's right up your alley, Brownie.
Despite the fact that you were
ill. A lot
of
things are up my alley.
This won't be an issue for you, Brownie. Okay, you're ready to go. Name six winners of the Lee Matthews Trophy since I won it in 2002.
Gary Ablett, Dane Swan, Chris Judd, Nathan Fyfe, Sam Mitchell, Dustin Martin.
Sam Mitchell.
Yeah, Sam Mitchell. Interesting, Bernie. Sam Mitchell.
You're very confident in your answers, but no, mate. Adam from Adelaide, congratulations, mate. Tickets for you and a mate to go to Midnight All Live in concert. Chance for a couple of grand final tickets if you keep listening to Triple M and the Friday Huddle. Good on you, Adam.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Well done, mate.
Yeah, good stuff.
Well, what were the answers?
Michael Voss.
Extraordinary that you won it.
Nick Revol. Should have won it in 2003 as well. Nick Revol. Ben Cousins. Chris Judd won it. Gary Ablett Jr. Dane Swan. Nat Fyfe. Paddy Dangerfield. And Dustin Martin won it this year. The MVP.
Close.
Probably the most prestigious award in footy, Howie.
Didn't probably.
Doesn't even get it at the front of the bar in the jug cave. He doesn't.
You have to go swimming for it behind everything else.
Behind a couple of nice bottles.
Yeah. Couple of brown lows.
It's even beyond the gym. The gym workout. The dumbbells get
I think
front
it used as a doorstop last time in the jug cave. Did you just win the one, Juddy? Or?
Won the two. One of the doorstop.
It was disrespectful to Barney, I thought, where it was placed.
No disrespect. One of the most awards that's very warm to my heart, too.
Did you win one at each club, did you?
One of each, people. Yeah.
As you did at Brownlow.
Yeah. Like different years, so 4 years.
What about you laughed at the way he goes to the toilet as well, didn't you?
I like people that do things differently. I call things first often, and Barney could be ahead of the trend when it comes to urinal work. So.
What about the concern in this group when we found out that maybe Juddy was going to move house and there wouldn't be an appropriate Judd Cave, Dust?
Oh, that's a disaster.
It might be a bigger and better Judd Cave.
Well, I hope so.
That's a ripple effect on the whole Friday team.
How many houses have caves that you can actually... It's a fairly small market,
you can build them.
Right.
Yeah. Build them, they will come, Harry. I don't want the huddle to be distracted by this news.
A little bit more news floating around, Damo. Obviously, we've got the story that Tommy Lonergan was out with food poisoning. So a big story there. What else is happening in the world of footy?
We touched on Gold Coast before and the Ken Hinckley situation. They're still in the search for a coach. They've told at least half a dozen players and quite possibly as many as 10 who are either contracted or uncontracted that they will be talking about them potentially in the upcoming trade period. It's an unusual step. A lot of clubs don't telegraph it as they appear to have done. The names that I've managed to get are some obvious candidates that have been around for a while in this space. So they've been Matera, McKenzie, Shaw will be another one. Rory Thompson's an interesting one, Darce. A couple of years ago, looked yeah. the goods. He's contracted for another 2 years, but is well aware the club will be taking conversations about him, and he's open to that possibility, so that could happen. Nichols, who's the tall guy.
Big ruckman, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Also, Aaron Hall, I haven't been able to get to the bottom of this, but Aaron Hall, whose form has wavered at various times, looks a world beater sometimes, other times quarter. He also could be gettable for a club that wants to come to the Suns with the right offer. So they're certainly looking at it, and not just players who are out of contract.
Will they wait until they appoint a coach before they actually make those calls, or is there a point in
time? It's already out there, and the players are have an awareness of it to a degree, as do the managers, I believe, of most of those players I've said. And I believe there's even players outside of that five or six I rattled off there who will be in this same boat. Just to get on the Gold Coast, Dean Solomon, as of yesterday, had chosen to opt out of the coaching process for reasons that are his, that whether he thinks they've already got someone, whether he thinks he wasn't going to get it on the back of being the interim coach for the three matches he had and it not going well. The last game, only 3 goals to the Suns' name. But he's chosen, as I read it last night, to take himself out of that equation.
And to stay at the club, Damien?
That's an unknown. Yeah, okay. There's an offer there, as far as I know, yet to absolutely be signed off on. And there is some talk that he could be on the lookout for another club. He does like the Gold Coast area to live in, I know that.
Often saying footy, Dame, it's never as bad as it seems and it's never as good as it seems. But there's some alarm around Gold Coast, isn't there? Yeah. I know Mark Evans is a perfect person to pull this together, but you know, so much movement, there's so much repair needs to be done from what's happened in the past and discontent with players and Gary Abbott leaving. And that, it feels like this is not a quick fix for that club.
No, it's not. And even little things, Darce, when the new coach gets there, he's faced with the prospect of not using the home venue for half of the first season he's there. The Commonwealth Games are going to take over the offices that they use, and then across the way from the offices is the Metricon Stadium, which is the main stadium for the Commonwealth Games. So there's things like that that aren't going to naturally be an easy situation for that new person. And the fact that Mark Evans was sent up there effectively by the AFL, and now that he's getting desperate and making approaches to contracted coaches, I think it's part of the whole narrative, Darce. The industry itself, just back on the Hinckley specific of what's going on with the Gold Coast, it's not going to be happy with an AFL-run footy club making an approach to a contracted member of another club, given the AFL very recently made some very strong public noises about sacking coaches. We don't want wasted money. And if you've got a contract, let's have them on it. But they don't like coaches breaking contracts and having clubs break the contracts on their behalf. So there's a fair bit to play out, Darce, and you're right. None of it is presenting as positive.
Gee, you've got to pick your horse and assistant coach, don't you? Dean Solomon, he's been slogging away as an assistant. He's been improving his skills, learning as he goes. He's given the job, which you have to take.
You have to take it.
For 3 games, and all of a sudden, it didn't go very well in his 3 games. Taking over a club that was on its knees, you've got to pick and choose carefully, don't you?
You do. And you're right about why your coach said how he had to take that opportunity when the club goes for him, can you coach us for these 3 games? And he obviously knew deep down that what happened actually could have happened before he took it. So the 3-5 scoreline in the last game, unfortunately for him, the way the world works, it meant that he wasn't going to be in the running because he was going to become a very hard sell for that footy club in at a time when they need to sell the house down.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.